fun radio station. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Do your job, Coach Bill says do your job.
Hell yeah.
Do your job, Coach Bill says do your job.
Do your job, Coach Bill says do your job.
Hey, Brady, quonk, 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 do your job.
Do your job, Coach Bill says do your job.
Well, the motto about our team that gets us fired up every game, do your job.
Do your job, Coach Bill says do your job.
And they practice every day while they're prepping for the game. Coach Belichick will say,
do your job.
Hell yeah.
Do your job, Coach Bill says do your job.
Hell yeah.
Do your job, Coach Bill says do your job.
Hey, Brady, gronk, 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 do your job.
Do your job, Coach Bill says do your job.
Oh, and when we play the Seahawks, we'll beat them through and through. And we know that the fans will say, please bring back home the Lombardi. When we get back to Gillette, we'll hear the coach's mouth preaching and a crying. Tell us what a wicked piss of job
that the Patriots did.
Do your job, Coach Bill says do your job.
Hell yeah.
Do your job, Coach Bill says do your job.
Hell yeah.
98.5, the Sports Hub, with Toucher and Rich from the Town Fair Tire Studios. That is Mike behind the mic, Callahan, one of his great efforts that he has done. But the Patriot fans, you know, we've played Jacksonville songs. I don't know if we played any Eagles songs, but we did play Jacksonville
Eagles
songs.
Eagles are just like people yelling and driving into trash cans.
Right. And so this is an opportunity for Patriots fans to make really bad songs, too.
Yeah. And you know what? The good news is that they're coming from all over the country. And when we've submitted for it, somebody sent us a song the other day. Did you guys open the one that they said, hey, I heard you guys saying that there's no Patriots songs out there, so I thought I would make one. And it was 3 minutes long. And it started with about a minute of bongo music, and then he goes, go Patriots! And then it was another minute of bongo music, and go Patriots! And that was the end of it.
It was just an excuse for him to show off his bongo skills.
This dude totally kicked ass on bongos, but
that attachment.
Sometimes you have to step out of the market to find genius. You know, when you're looking for real talent, sometimes you don't just like look to your left and right. You talk to people. You scour the earth. And in this submission comes from a radio duo out of South Dakota. And I don't know why these people in South Dakota are big fans of the Patriots. Oh, apparently...
Was it North Dakota
Adam
or South Dakota?
Adam Vinatieri is from there?
Yeah, that's what they said.
Is it
played there.
Okay. He played there. So we have two radio DJs that this was sent to us from them saying, hey, we are trying to get South Dakota pumped about the Patriots and the Super Bowl. So we have come up with something that is going to be played every hour on the hour for the next week and a half. Take it away, South Dakota.
Here's a story of a man named Brady who has already won 5 Super Bowls.
They took the Brady Bunch because his name is Tom Brady and there's a seminal show called The Brady Bunch.
There is.
I wish I would have thought of that.
He will play against the Philadelphia Eagles. The quarterback is Foles.
Here's the story of some jerks from Philly.
Jerks.
They like to throw their beer at the other fans.
But if the cops in Minneapolis ever catch them, they'll lock them in the can.
Then Super Sunday, when they started playing.
And we know that this is much more than a hunch.
We'll find out that the Eagles taste like chicken.
Cause that's the day Tom Brady will eat them for lunch.
The Brady Lunch. The Brady Lunch. That's the day Tom Brady eats Eagle for lunch.
All right.
That was unpleasant.
That was, you know what? The Brady Lunch.
Sometimes you just sit.
They reach so hard that I could see Mr. Guerrero taking one of those DJs.
I wonder why you stay in Sioux Falls.
Or wherever the hell they are. Rapid City. You
sit in Rapid City and be okay.
They finished that song and they looked at each other and went, killed it.
They sent it here.
They sent it to us.
Like it was good.
They said, hey, you know what? We got to get to the Patriots flagship station. It's not the Brady Bunch. It's It's the Brady Lunch.
And he is much more than a hunch, which is in the actual theme for the Brady Bunch.
Right, but
that's the day Tom Brady eats Eagle for lunch.
That's not very nice.
By the way, that line in the Brady Bunch song makes no sense at all. And they knew that it was much more than a hunch that this group would somehow form a family.
Well, you're getting married, so.
Yeah, like, it's not a hunch. I mean, like, you are a family.
Why you would do that.
There's not a hunch for it.
Yeah, but there was one gentleman who is an Eagles fan, Fred, that's a man that you like, because he has written many a song before, especially your favorite about public subs.
Oh, Golden Boy.
What a gift this is. Well, of course, you know, we all remember his hit. Yummy.
This guy is a genius. He just does the same thing for in whatever's in the news or whatever's happening. And, you know, people will download it, and he probably gets a check for, you know, 15 cents a month.
Mm-hmm.
But for very little work. Here we go. Golden Boy. This is about the Eagles, I said.
Yes.
Professional athletic football team?
Professional American football team.
Oh, American football team.
Yes. I think he just read the Wikipedia.
No, yeah. I mean, he didn't even do that.
No.
He said the Eagles are in the Super Bowl. That the amount of time we spent listening to that is the amount of time it took him to make that. It took him under a minute to make that. He just put on the computer and he just started going, Philadelphia Eagles!
And after he was done making it, he said,
I'm very hungry. I'm starving.
You want a public sub, apparently.
You do want a public sub. You gotta love it.
Who doesn't want a public sub?
Public sub! Yummy.
Okay, well, maybe he can eat some chicken.
We'll find out that the Eagles taste like chicken.
Because that's the day Tom Brady will eat them for lunch.
And that guy's all in. Like, that guy's all in on this project. He's like, all right, what do you want me to do? All right, fine, I'm done.
No, he's into it. Which, that one is the most annoying of anything we've ever played.
Hey, you.
What about that one?
I won.
Yeah, he doesn't like that very much.
I like this team that's going to win. Everyone, hooray.
The Patriots are the worst team in the NFL.
The NFL.
All right. The Kowloon crew is very excited because Vince McMahon came out to speak yesterday. And we will talk a little bit about that.
Admit it. Toucher. It turns you on.
And Rich.
Every mother's dream.
Toucher and Rich.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Yesterday, Vince McMahon came out and announced that there was going to be a new XFL. It was going to start in 2 years, and here's what he had to say.
The new XFL will kick off in 2020, and quite frankly, we're going to give the game of football back to fans. I'm sure everyone has a lot of questions for me, but I also have a lot of questions for you. In fact, we're going to ask a lot of questions and listen to players, coaches. We're going to listen to medical experts, technology executives, members of the media, and anyone else who understands and loves the game of football. But most importantly, we're going to be listening to fans. So I would ask that, the question of what would you do if you could reimagine the game of professional football? Would you, for instance, eliminate halftime? Would you have fewer commercial breaks? Would the game of football be faster? Would the rules be simpler? The new XFL will be fan-centric with all the things you like to see and less of the things you don't. And no doubt, a lot of innovations along the way. We will present a shorter, faster-paced, family-friendly, and easier-to-understand game. Don't get me wrong, it's still football, but it's professional football reimagined. Since we're launching in 2020, we have 2 years, which is plenty of time to really get it right.
So aside from family friendly, which I just think means that you have to stand for the national anthem. I have no idea.
Oh, it's because the other one was very sexed up. That's why. Is that there? It was the cheerleaders with the super tight outfits and stuff.
The cheerleaders were dressed up like strippers.
But the family friendly thing, I don't understand. But other than that, it sounds like a very good idea.
No, it sounds like he has no plan.
No, he does. No, he does have a plan. It's that all the teams are going to be owned by the same entity. He knows that they're starting with 8 teams and that they're going to be shorter games with maybe no halftime.
With inferior talent.
No, not necessarily inferior talent.
There's already a saturation of football as is. That is the biggest thing that people have been complaining about.
The game of,
what is he thinking? You know what he said? Yesterday he said, we're going to make it shorter, and then we want your ideas. No gimmicks. So all the things that
was
a PR about
thing. That was a PR thing.
This does feel like a guy who's had enormous professional success, who's looking at his one failure now, looking back at his life and saying, I want to take another run at this.
Plus, he thinks there's an opportunity.
That's exactly where it is.
How is this better than the last one?
The ratings on the NFL are going down.
Yeah.
And the reason he's done market research. We can talk about how you can get good players in a second. But he's done the market research, obviously, and he's found out that a great deal of the reason for this is because it's a plodding game that doesn't move fast.
How do you make it faster?
He's targeting Trump America, too.
Well, of course.
But let's focus on what's on the field. I understand what he's doing. The family friendly thing means that he's going to not let everyone's going to stand for the anthem. He even mentioned that.
He did.
American values and all that.
Yeah, fantastic.
And he's going to make the game faster.
Okay, that's right. Let's start with there's going to be few. He said there's going to be fewer commercial breaks. They probably won't have instant replay. You can speed the game up easily. You can make it a 2-2.5 hour game. He said they might get rid of halftime.
But I sit through those games because I like Aaron Rodgers. Because I like my competition at the highest level.
Bert and I were talking about this, and there is a way that he can get talent at first on the cheap. And that is, Bert, what?
By going after college freshmen and college sophomores. By going after big stars that play in college football, because college football is, I think, what, top three, like in American popularity?
Sure.
Like, I would, it may be number two.
It's
behind
probably
the NFL.
Two. Yes.
So, like, the one thing that the NFL's always had, right, is that they get these ready-made stars. America knows who Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Saquon Barkley, Bradley Chubb. America knows who those
guys
are.
Hang on. But so you're telling me that a star college athlete is going to play an entire season of football and a month later play another entire season?
Because
it starts in the spring.
Rich. No. What I'm saying is, this
kid had a huge freshman year. Let's take Tua.
Hang on a second.
Fournette
was at LSU, right, and people were saying, what a great freshman. Instead of playing 2 more years at LSU, then the XFL can throw him $600,000. He plays 2 years of professional football. He makes $12 million. He makes $1.2 million instead of playing college.
Instead of playing college at all.
No, he plays a year of college.
Plays a year of college, establishes his name in the XFL.
Why would I not play for money?
Because you're going to be playing football from August all the way through the summer for an entire year.
They're not allowed to play in the NFL. He's going to play in the XFL. They'd be out of college.
So you're telling me that someone would pass up a blue chip talent would pass up the chance to get taught by Nick Saban and
basketball,
be on national television
basketball,
all the time
basketball,
and go to the XFL,
NBA
something that has
basketball,
no guarantee to stick around?
NBA basketball.
They would never do it.
Guys play overseas, and you're out of your mind if you didn't think that they would take
money.
There
are kids who, like what you're saying, I understand what you're saying, right? But if you're a kid who's from a horrible part of New Orleans or Dallas or wherever, and your family has no money, and now all of a sudden Vince McMahon's coming to you and saying, okay, well, instead of playing your sophomore and your junior year at Alabama or Ohio State or Texas or wherever else, come here and I'll give you $1 million for the next 2 years, and you can develop here.
With bad coaches.
How do you know they're going to be bad coaches?
Well, because all the good ones are getting paid a ton of money in the NFL and in college.
So if I'm...
have to invest in coaches.
Okay, so if I'm the kid from Wyoming that's going to be a first-round... Josh Allen... what my coach was so fantastic. You don't think that these guys are going to want to get paid?
Here's the
you're
the,
out
the,
of your
the
mind.
Biggest problem. The biggest problem with the old XFL.
They could be risking a bigger payday if they're not in a good.
They try.
Wait, like, what?
They could be risking more, a future bigger payday if they are groomed through a Nick Saban system or a decent college.
Okay, so the whole league is from Alabama?
So you're telling me that they're going to scout the XFL to find these guys?
But absolutely.
And they're going to be able to showcase
their best. Just like the NBA scouts Europe.
Rich, here's the thing, and that's right. Like, here's the thing. You're discounting how highly these kids think of themselves. Like, The true freshman at Alabama does not think that Nick Saban is the guy who's responsible for his success. That guy thinks his talent is getting him where
by
he is.
By the way, and that's considered...
That guy has a deep, deep...
What is the book of kids coming out of Alabama? That why
they're worn out.
Yep.
And they're worn out and they're maxed out.
Yep. And so actually playing at Alabama for 3 years is considered a detriment for a lot of these kids. So you can throw that out the window.
I'm just telling you, like, it's...
Do you legitimately think you could get them, though?
Yes. If you're a 19-year-old kid, okay? If you're a 19-year-old kid from a horrible, horrible neighborhood, your family has no money, and someone walks up to you and says, you're bound to make $0 for the next 2 years before you go to the NFL.
And you could get hurt.
I'm going to give you $1 million.
Is that enough? Well, how about this? If you don't know who these people are, except for the fact that they've been in college, because you said they're not going to play college or in high school.
No, they're going to play 1 year of college.
Play 1 or 2 years of college.
Okay, once again, if you jump from college to the XFL starts in the spring, so that would mean at some point they would have to play about 10 months straight of football.
No, you'd play in the fall, then you would have the winter off, and you play 8 games.
You don't have the winter off. It starts when the football season ends.
No, but the college football, you wouldn't play in your bowl game.
Right.
So if you're a freshman, you'd be off in November.
You get 2 months off.
People would, I'm just telling you, everybody has a price, Rich, right? Like, everyone has a price.
Understood, but...
And that price, they would have to find that price, like, and that's part of it. They would have to find the price for these kids.
Is that enough for people to watch it and compete with the NFL, that you've got one or two of these guys?
The biggest problem the old XFL had is that they didn't have, there weren't recognizable names. It was some backup quarterbacks, Tommy Maddox, of course. And then what they tried to do with the other guys, they tried to turn them into these wrestling characters, and it just didn't work. This is, going after college players would be different, because going after college players, those guys have been playing in front of audience, 10 million people in the TV audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
And 100,000-seat stadiums, and everyone's curious. For the last 2 years before Leonard Fournette went to the NFL, everyone's thinking, how does that guy project to the NFL? Christian McCaffrey, same thing. Even you look at J.K. Dobbins this year at Ohio State, right? Or Tua, who comes in at halftime of the national championship game and lights up Georgia. There's so many of these kids where it's like, we spend 2 years or 3 years wondering, what's this kid going to be in the NFL? It was from the minute Adrian Peterson stepped onto campus at Oklahoma. You looked at him, you're like, yep, there's the 18-year-old who could play professional football right now.
And why would I play for an institution that's making multi-million dollars off of my back when I can get paid?
Look, and I'm not saying, I'm not saying they necessarily do it for $100,000 or $200,000. What I am saying is there's definitely a price point there where you could lure them away, and it's not going to destroy college football, because I don't think you'd be doing it with backup linemen.
No.
But the big stars,
Rocket Ismail going to the CFL.
If you're Vince McMahon,
His career.
If you're Vince McMahon, it's we're going to pick a dozen or 20.
Okay,
college underclassmen who are ineligible for the draft, and we're going to pluck them. And we're going to pay. We're going to find a price point. We're going to pay them, and we're going to commit to bringing in coaches who can develop.
All right. Well, let's say that works, and let's say that he ends up getting a couple of these colleges.
People
still want to watch it.
We can discuss that. There's people on the phone. We can take the calls.
Right.
All right. The XFL.
Somebody said, by the way, if he was offered $600,000 from the XFL, he could just take it back to Nick Saban and ask him to match it.
Or you could go to Miami. Just go to LSU.
Right.
You know what? You'd find out exactly how much these kids are getting paid to go.
Yeah.
You'd find that out. Old Miss, and then you get caught 2 years later. All right, we will be right back. Here are the headlines.
Do you like talking now?
Toucher and Rich.
Open your mouth wide.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, Vince. How you doing? Will any invites be extended to players like Johnny Manziel, Tim Tebow, Colin Kaepernick?
Well, I think this, that one of the things when I said the quality of human being is very important and just as important as the quality of the player, what I mean by that is you want someone who does not have any criminality whatsoever associated with them. And in the XFL, even if you have a DUI, you will not play in the XFL. So that would probably eliminate some of them, not all of them. If Tim Tebow wants to play, he could very well play.
Good luck with that.
I know, that's stupid. The whole family-friendly aspect of it is ridiculous.
Well, it's because...
And by the way, I like he's comparing Kaepernick. Tebow, too, who's like the model. Well, that's SEC, like country, like it, hero.
Does Kaepernick have a DUI?
No, I think he's clean.
Okay,
Kaepernick's
so he's
completely clean.
By the way, he's comparing then Kaepernick to someone with a criminal record.
Well,
right
he, what he said was... And
well,
a lot
no,
of
he's putting him in the box with Manziel rather than putting him in the box
right,
with Tebow.
Right.
Sure. Well, I mean, there's people reading into that comment, which I'm not going to do that to him, but they mentioned those three players, and he goes, so yeah, absolutely we'd have Tebow in. It's like, all right, so what you're saying is that Kaepernick is...
Tebow's a fine example of the kind of player we would welcome in the NFL.
Part of what he says in that press conference is you're standing for the anthem. I mean, that's...
He was asked straight up, and he said, the anthem is something that we'll stand for. It's going to be something that is, there are going to be rules. I respect the anthem. So, yeah.
So it blows up his spot if Kaepernick...
Wait, isn't McMahon's wife part of Trump's cabinet?
Yes.
I think she is.
And
she
kind of makes sense now.
It's not political. He sees an opening, and he thinks that people didn't watch the NFL because... players were kneeling. It's not a political thing.
And it's fine seeing an opening from a business standpoint and running through.
He looks at the NFL and he says the ratings are falling. And by the way, this is never going to... I'll do this. There's a couple topics on the table. Is if players would go early out of college to get paid to play in the XFL. And two, is can the XFL be successful? Now, the XFL is never going to be as popular as the NFL. But here's one thing that I think is good about the XFL. Is that it could... If it's profitable, which will not take a lot, if it is profitable, then maybe the NFL looks at itself and says, we have to change some things. Like, people want the pace of play to go up. They don't want all these stoppages. So all it can do is be good for the NFL as a consumer.
But yesterday, though, that presentation, all it told me, the only real concrete plan that was thrown out there was that there's not going to be a halftime, and they're going to end up trying to make it faster.
Yeah, they said the games are going to be 2 hours.
But the quality of player will not be...
It just has to be profitable. It doesn't have to challenge the NFL. It doesn't have to challenge the NBA. It just has to make a profit.
See, but the best part of the XFL was the gimmicks. And they're coming out here and saying, no gimmicks.
But it was fun for a week, and it got high ratings for a week, and then it went away.
You guys remember how they replaced the coin toss?
Everyone got hurt.
First guy wrecked his shoulder, and that was the end of it.
There's too much football as is. There's too much football.
That's exactly why the NFL ratings fell. Like, that's the biggest reason. It's not the anthem, and it's not people on the other side feeling like Colin Kaepernick was wronged. It's the fact that there's just football reached a saturation point.
Mm-hmm.
And now, instead of it being this thing where it felt like a special event every Sunday, you sit down and you watch 7 hours or 10 hours of football, now you get it on Monday night. You can get it on Thursday night.
But, Bert, it's also boring. And it's become a boring game.
But how can this be better?
But faster. And it doesn't have to be better than faster.
Faster.
It doesn't have to be better than the NFL. It just has to turn a profit. That's all it has to do. Joe, go ahead.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Joe?
I mean, every other sport, baseball, the kids leave early. Hockey, kids leave early. As you said, basketball, they leave early. I mean, how many great baseball players come out of high school that never think to play college? They go right to double A or single A. Same thing with hockey. A lot of these kids never play college. The other thing, regarding the college players, you know, you get players like Cardell Jones. You get the kid from Alabama, Blake Sims, guys who have followings that aren't good enough to go to the NFL that probably don't want to get a cube job right out of college. And why wouldn't they take a shot at it? You know, you can speed up the game like college, shrink the play clock from 40 seconds to 25. You can give larger touchdown points. You know, if it's over 50 yards, you know, give 10 points instead of 6. So they take shots down the field so the plays are more exciting. So there's a lot of little things that they can do to make it more watchable than, you know, running a 4-yard dive and then waiting 3 minutes until the ball is snapped again.
What you just mentioned is dangerous, though. You can't lower that play clock.
Sure you can.
Too much lower than that. I mean,
sure you can.
Don't you think that's like a dangerous speed?
No,
No, not
how
at all.
How is it dangerous?
Well, how could that possibly be dangerous?
Not be able to, like, I mean, recover? I mean, these
it's
plays...
Just, no, it's just to basically be the equivalent of running hurry up. Like, yeah. Like you're basically running... Like, Chip Kelly ran that full-time at Oregon.
Well, Mouse Davis
years.
Ran it full-time.
Run and shoot, baby.
Yeah, so that was successful.
Just running hurry up for an entire game seems like something that would be brutal, like,
no,
to...
It wouldn't be dangerous.
I just don't know that, like...
In 25 seconds,
I mean,
plenty of time.
Changing the rules makes it interesting, but, like, we've seen we've seen leagues try to change rules before.
Arena League.
I mean, Canada's got different rules.
It just has to be...
Canada's got three
Canadian
downs.
Football makes a profit. All it has to do is make a profit. And the best thing about it, if it's at all successful, making a profit starts with eight teams. They're all owned by the same entity. They're willing to play in baseball stadiums, and all they have to do is make a profit. If the NFL sees that, and the NFL ratings continue to dip, if it has, even if it has nothing to do with the XFL, the best thing as a consumer is the NFL can look at it and go, there's a lot we can do to speed
and
up
I
the
think,
game.
I think there are, one, it's got to be, you got to have recognizable players. And I think the way you can exploit the NFL rules to do that is by going after kids who aren't eligible yet for the draft. I also think another way that they can kind of tap into the NFL rules and use the NFL rules against them, find a way to incorporate gambling.
Yeah, but you know how tough that is? Do you know how tough? Isn't that, wouldn't that take a lot of work to end up?
I don't know, that's
a lot of legal stuff you got to go through.
But I think it'd be worth it. Like, I just, look, one of the reasons why football's so popular is because it's a great sport to gamble on.
Of course.
It's an It's the best sport to gamble on. For gambling.
Right.
And so, like, I think, you know, the NFL's always tiptoed around this, right? Like, mm-hmm. When I was at NFL Network, they told us, like, there are two audiences that you're appealing to when we were on the pregame show. It's the fantasy players and it's the gamblers. And we could talk about fantasy, but you can never talk about gambling. They have to tiptoe around it because there's obviously the integrity of the game issues and all that different stuff. That's another area where the XFL could look at the NFL and say, they're not doing this, and there's a chance for us to really tap into a huge audience.
Well, if that's possible, that makes it even better. Drew, go ahead.
Hey, Fred, Rich.
What up, Drew?
Just wanted to comment on the college kids and the whole one and done. They would definitely move right from college after a little bit or even out of high school. I coach, and these kids, they're bigger than the game. So it's not about the coaching staff and being under a Saban or being under a Harbaugh. It's about them, and they would be licking their chops for the money.
It's a huge complaint with college athletes, and it's a legitimate complaint that they're making billions of dollars off the backs of us, and I'm not getting anything. So why would I play for free? And all you have to do in college basketball is play 1 year of college. And kids are going overseas so they can get paid for that.
Look at Georgia's quarterback, Jake Fromm. All right, like, I heard in the middle of the season, he's 18 years old, this kid could be a first-round pick.
Yep.
So he's 18 years old. He's not going to see a paycheck, at least an on-the-books paycheck,
right?
For playing football for another two full years. If Vince McMahon comes to him and says, we're going to give you $1.2 million over the next 2 years. You make $600,000 for 2018. You're going to make $600,000 for 2019. You'll be able to go and hire personal coaches, right? To work on everything you need to work on to get ready for the NFL. And you're going to be able to make some money in the meantime. Do you say no?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I just think of, like, and I'm just trying.
Lesser personal coaches, different rules than the NFL.
I'm just trying to think of this from a common sense standpoint. Like, put yourself in those shoes.
If your name is that big, where you know that you've got a huge payday waiting for you.
Now, college football is everything is dangerous.
They're getting paid anyway.
Think about yourself at 18.
Now that's crazy.
What's that?
Think about yourself at 18, and somebody comes to you and says, I'm going to give you this for the next 2 years. Like,
and you could risk a massive payday because
you're not risking anything you wouldn't risk in college.
And you're 18 years old. When you're 18 years old, you're not thinking about anything that's not like that's but, more than 10.
But
bucks
these guys in good college systems are protected. They're protected by their coaches.
No, they're not.
They also have connections with the NFL teams.
Well, I got news for you. The Heisman Trophy winner wasn't protected at all by his coaches. I don't understand what the point you're making is. If I can get paid, I'm less likely to get hurt because I'm playing less games. I'm playing eight games. I'm playing against a similar competition in a lot of ways if they're taking guys that played in the NFL. I mean,
do you think this is going to have a big three basketball type situation where you're going to have ex players like sign up and then just not show up for games?
Yes. Absolutely. You know,
like Chad Ochocinco's like, I'm in. And like Terrell Owens, hey, XFL. Yep. And then by game three, they're done.
Yes.
I just think,
I absolutely think that would happen.
So here's the thing. Like, and I still remember the first night of the XFL. I was in college and we all went to a bar and watched
it. It was the best. Right, the opening first night, he hated me.
It was amazing.
Yeah. Opie and Andy.
And then yep. I never watched. And
Opie was asked, by the way, to be part of this new one.
Oh, really?
I saw him tweet that yesterday.
I love football. I never watched a full game again. Right. And I think that's the way it was for everybody. And so here's the thing. Like, you have to find a way so you get the curiosity of it that got everybody in that first night. How are you able to maintain that curiosity? Well, one of the most powerful properties the NFL has is the draft. And one of the things that draws fans in the most is, how does this guy project from the college level to the pro level? What's this guy going to look like in the NFL in 5 years? You can tap into that.
Well, I hope you're right, because I'd like to see this succeed. I mean, if the XFL succeeded and actually made the NFL, as you said, look at themselves and go, we got a lot of stuff we got to fix, there's no better situation.
It's just there's all these unanswered questions in the sport. And it's like, one is like, well, what would Tim Tebow look like if he got another shot? What would Colin Kaepernick look like if we threw him out there? And then another question is, what would the college freshman look like in a professional football environment? You can give people an answer to that question earlier than they're getting it.
And if I'm a running back from a big program and they're going to give me the ball 30 times a game, I can go to the XFL and say, no. You know, I want to protect myself. Because, again, I think it's more for running backs than anyone else.
And I already know one coach that would do it. The Fish. Jeff Fisher.
I'll only do it for the triple XFL.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, hardcore porn at center field.
Who would they get? You'd get Jim Tomsula. Jeff Fisher.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't even have to pay Tomsula.
XFL is Dan Campbell written all over us.
Here's the other thing. Endorsements on top of what you're on top of like what you're going to make from the XFL. Think about this: you can make more money off of. You can get a shoe deal. You can get there's just all the rules that would apply to you as a college player don't apply anymore.
Yep.
I just think that's the way that like that's one thing that they should do.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing that they would have to do.
Yeah.
And it's a good idea. And you thought of it. I didn't think of it, but I think it makes perfect sense. We will be back in just a moment.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, Patrice Bergeron, and we, the Toucher and Rich Show, present Pucks and Paddles, the first annual ping pong tournament to benefit the Boston Bruins Foundation and the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center. Well, bring this up. Let's see where the bidding's at.
Okay.
Thursday, February 15th at the Royale Boston. Bid to play doubles ping pong against your favorite Bruins player. This show, you got Beadle over there. You have Scott Zolak. VIP tickets to meet this team who is on a historic run right now.
And you know what? The last I checked, two of the players who scored last night didn't have a bid. Like, all the Bruins but two had a bid. But I think Danton Heinen and Jake DeBrusk, two guys have been playing extremely well. By the way, speaking of that, DeBrusk and Heinen now both have 11 goals in their rookie seasons. That's the same as Tyler Seguin and Phil Kessel.
Everyone has a bid except for Schaller, who scored a shorthanded goal last night.
Oh, okay.
So, and that includes Mark Bertrand, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, nice.
So everyone's on the board.
All right.
But for some reason, VIP tickets are still available. I mean, you face-to-face with these guys and FaceTime, and they'll sign your stuff. And $200 gives you access to the autograph session with the team. General admission tickets are $50. And this promises to be a much more intimate experience than was Cuts for a Cause, and the players actually want to do this. For all the information to buy tickets, go to 98.5thesportshub.com/pucks.
Okay, so last night was kind of weird. I don't know if you paid attention to everything that was going on involving Kyrie Irving and the Celtics. First of all, there's the story that Adam Kaufman broke, once again, who I guess he's an inside guy.
Well, speaking of Kaufman, really quickly, we played this audio. This is just going to take a second.
Okay.
We played this audio from the Brady documentary.
Tom versus Time.
Well, the Patriots season opener coming up. We're just hours away, and one guy that the Chiefs certainly are scouting is Tom Brady, who is 40. Yes, he is 40.
So they used it in the documentary, and we speculated that Sarge did not do that on the radio, because we're like, in what planet would Sarge be doing any kind of pregame stuff? And Sarge sent a very formal email to Mr. John Wallach. Would you read it, please?
Yes. It's a text message from about an hour ago. His text to me was, that was from WBZ AM. I interviewed Bob Soucy the day before the Kansas City season kickoff, and that was one of my questions to him. WBZ aired a portion of that interview during opening night. It had been posted online, and someone from the documentary picked it up, which was a pleasant surprise to me. That's nice for Sarge. Here's another side thing for you. Kaufman usually did the interview with Soucy, but I got Bob that particular week. Any further questions can be directed to me. Thank you.
Ooh. Sarge saying any further questions can be directed to me, not Kaufman, who I do not want to talk about. It's enough that Kaufman broke the Celtics news. Now, you can direct all questions to me or through Jimmy Stewart.
Well, this is his 15 minutes of fame, man. I mean, this is it.
Can you imagine his reaction? And that's on DVR, and you know every girl that he brings home.
Can you imagine his reaction?
He just sits.
That's a little resin right there.
That we could play a game called Porno or Tom.
That is Tom getting the crap beat out of his hamstring by Alex Guerrero last night, the documentary, which is easily the most fascinating part of that. I mean, it was very, very good. I mean, it really, no sarcasm or whatever. It was excellent and way better than I thought it was going to be. And it actually humanized Tom Brady. But that scene is so amazingly weird. Just how aggressive the TB12 pliability massage is, where his legs just flopping everywhere, and he's going from kneecap all the way up to butt cheek, just jamming it.
Did it really humanize Tom Brady?
It did. It did. I thought it made him, for 15 minutes or however long it was, there weren't many points where I went, wow, he's weird. No. Whereas I've done that almost every other time
I've
seen him.
The thing that humanized Tom Brady more than anything was the end scene of that.
With him and
where
Giselle.
Where he's coming his way and Giselle's trying to say, you know, don't worry about it.
Because she's bothering him.
And all of us have been in that situation.
Right, where you're being bothered by your wife.
I like the whole anger and jealousy at the beginning, and that he's very vindictive. Like the point where when he kept the letter where he was suspended, and he was like, hey, thanks for that.
Yeah, but he also had those weird binders, and he was picking them out. I don't know.
No, the last scene was the most humanizing thing out of the entire 14-minute segment?
Yeah.
Listen, on a scale of Tom Brady weird, that was very low on the scale, yes. But I think our floor for his weirdness is...
Sure.
Is pretty low.
You see, I think that what we saw yesterday was rich guy weird. It wasn't Tom Brady brainwashed TB12 weird like we're used to.
Okay.
You agree with that? Like, I mean, the leather bound stuff, that's just what people with tons of money.
No, it wasn't brainwashed TB12 stuff. No. We'll have to get there.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think they're easing their way into that because we know this is going to probably end up being an infomercial, but I was shocked. That first episode seemed to be devoid of that, except for, of course, you know...
I will give that to them, is that there was very little of the TB12 shenanigans. They did show him drinking his electrolyte water, though. So I don't know what's up next, but Rich promises me that this is something I will enjoy. And Michael Hurley will be in studio, because he has become the parody of himself. He's become a parody of himself. Michael Hurley has devolved.
Do you want to start with that?
No, let's start with your thing because. Oh, yeah. But he's devolved into madness. He really has.
Okay.
Because now there's no enemy, so he's got to find enemies wherever they lurk.
There's enemies.
Yeah, I know, but it's not.
These writers, they
see,
don't
that's,
know.
That's when you start going, all right, dude. Like, come on. This is not healthy. And this is not sustainable. You got to throw a change up every
let
now and
go,
again.
Let it go.
Yes. All right. And I don't think he's doing it to get clicks. I think he's doing it because this is the way his brain works. Because on Instagram, it's either pictures of his kids or some crazy ass thing about the Patriots.